Let's take a quick break and hear from today's show sponsor.
Are you struggling to close deals? Cold outreach can be a slow and brutal process, and in many scenarios, it's just wasting the time of both the buyer and the seller, especially when business owners who are trying to find qualified buyers are using inaccurate and outdated data. But it doesn't have to be this way. With LinkedIn Sales Navigator, your organization can overcome these challenges by leveraging this amazing technology and platform that translates comprehensive, high-quality buyer data into real-time insights and sales. These deeper insights empower sales reps and teams to adopt the habits of top performers, which leads to much better outcomes like building a bigger pipeline with real customers, leading to higher win rates and conversions, and of course, larger deals and paydays all around. We call this deep sales, and LinkedIn has built the first deep sales platform with the next generation of LinkedIn Sales Navigator. Right now, our Millionaire Mindcast family has an amazing opportunity to try LinkedIn Sales Navigator and get a 60-day free trial at linkedin.com/mindcast. That's linkedin.com/mindcast for a 60-day free trial. Let LinkedIn Sales Navigator help you sell like a superstar today. Just go to linkedin.com/mindcast and get started.
Welcome to the Millionaire Mindcast, where we broadcast weekly interviews with millionaire minds from across the globe to empower you on your journey of unlocking a rich and fulfilling life. It's time to unleash your millionaire within. Now, here's your host, Matty A.
What's going on, guys? Welcome into today's episode. It has been a crazy start to the year, and we are going to be recapping all of the events that have gone down, specifically how they tie into the real estate market, your real estate investments, your stock investments, and just overall making money in 2021. Of course, you got myself, Matty A, and my co-host, Mr. Breedwell. What's going on, brother?
What's up, guys?
Well,
little social distance.
I was going to say, I'm a little sad. You know, usually, you know, we're rubbing elbows, talking trash, and you are quarantining right now just to be safe. How are you feeling?
I'm feeling fine. I had a little bit of a stuffy nose and a headache yesterday, so I took the responsible route and I said, you know what?
We're going to
stay home today.
What a good man.
Response to Trillatron levels at 1,000.
Well, today is January 11th. If you guys are new to the show, welcome. We talk all things money and market updates that help you on your wealth building journey to a million and beyond. We've got a lot to cover in today's episode in terms of censorship, the riots, what's going on in the stock market, Bitcoin going crazy, or maybe not so crazy. We'll be talking about that. And also some updates in terms of declining and pending home sales. Is that something to be a forecast in terms of what new trends might be or the pendulum swinging in the real estate market? We're going to talk about that coming up. But man, it's been a wild, wild week. Before we jump in today, know that we got all kinds of cool resources, free resources for you guys. If you're watching this on YouTube, first and foremost, hit that subscribe button, smash the like button, drop us a comment down below and say what up. If you are new to the show and you're listening to this on any kind of podcasting platform, you can hit that subscribe button. And all we ask, if you get value from our shows, please just share it with somebody else so that we can help empower them on their wealth building journey. And don't forget to leave a review if you enjoy the content that we share. Drop us a note at texting 844-447-1555. And before we dig in, we got all kinds of resources that you guys can take advantage of. Those are linked up in the show description below. But if you guys are looking to get a free financial portfolio review, you can always text the word X-ray to that same text number, 844-447-1555. That gives you the ability to jump on a call with Ryan and his team, and they will literally go through your entire investment portfolio. First and foremost, to make sure that you're not getting overcharged, which really, what, you see that all the time, right?
Most often I see the overcharge thing because fees are breezed over. So they're normally not talked about and they squeeze in a nice max fee on there. So yeah, fees are a big wedge driver between me and most advisors.
That's right. And if you guys are looking to take advantage of life insurance, one of the best, and I don't want to say secret vehicles that the wealthy have taken advantage of for decades.
Not secret.
It's not so secret, but so many people don't know how to take advantage of it. So if you guys want to know more about becoming your own bank and using life insurance for all of its benefits, head over to becomethebank.info to schedule a time with Ryan. And know that I got all kinds of free resources and downloads for you guys as well. You can check those out at millionairemindcast.com. But if you are a real estate investor or you're somebody that's looking to get into passive investments, and you are an accredited investor, if you don't know what that is, then you don't need to sign up for this. But if you want to know about my syndication deals and opportunities, text the word deals to 844-447-1555. All right. With that being said, first and foremost.
Take a deep breath there.
Okay. I got my coffee in me. I'm feeling good. I'm ready to dominate the week. I'm on day 11 of my 75 hard challenge. Shout out to Andy Frisella. I'm feeling good, man. I'm feeling real dangerous. But speaking of dangerous, a lot of people think the president of the United States is extremely dangerous right now. And we've got at least Nancy Pelosi and a lot of Democrats pushing over to the at least House right now. Impeachment with Donald Trump. Obviously, with what happened this last week, there was a lot of stuff that people were, you know, really just, of course, saddened by. I mean, I was definitely very disappointed to see what happened this last week. And with everything that we saw in terms of, you know, riots, there was just a lot of stuff that didn't really add up to me in terms of how one of the most secure buildings in the entire world just has doors opened and police waving people in. And, you know, a lot of people were calling it a coup. Obviously, a lot of people were saying Donald Trump incited a riot. It was an attack on our democracy. And so they are pushing the impeachment. But in general, you and I were talking about this. What happened on, what was it, Tuesday, Wednesday? I don't even know what date it is anymore.
The 6th. I know what date it was. I think it was Tuesday, January 6th.
Tuesday, January 6th was just absolutely disgusting. It wasn't who we are, what we stand for. And it really just kind of highlighted, in my opinion, one, division, and two, how many people are so upset and still not accepting or trusting what the election results were and how they were come to. But how do you know, what were your thoughts on this, and how does this really tie into the temperature of the market and what kind of, you know, economic and political climate we're going to see in 2021?
Yeah, good question. It's hard to answer because it's almost like I got to go against, because I'm a registered Republican. I'm a conservative, but I also am not like so far right or so far left that I don't have a drop of common sense. So I think what ended up happening, and I'll tread lightly here because I know some of my clients and a lot of our listeners would assimilate with the things that happened on the Capitol. And I think freedom of speech and being able to protest and all that other stuff, that's important things to do. But the second that you start, I can't sit back and condemn people breaking into businesses and rioting and causing amok in on the streets of cities, and then say that a group of people that are registered similar to me on how we vote have a right to essentially break into the Capitol. They don't. You have a right to peacefully protest and gather and speak your mind. But what happened at the Capitol was just, it was just kind of sad. I don't like ultra liberal people. I think that they cause issues and divisiveness in their party. And I don't like crazy far right wing conservative people. I think they cause issues and divisiveness in our party, our meaning mine, because I know that you don't really assimilate with any party. And what I think that that ultimately does is it drives a divide farther and farther and farther between the left and the right. I don't agree with most Democratic principles, but I agree with a lot of them. And a lot of Democrats don't agree with Republicans' principles, but they agree with a lot of them. We have to have bipartisanship and common sense needs to kind of prevail here. Because what ends up happening is like, who can say the shittiest thing about somebody and run your name through a muck? Who can create this image that's kind of cool? It's a popularity contest, not a content contest. I think that that's really just sad. The people that need to be politicians, it almost seems like they could never be politicians because they're too real. You almost have to be this fake, shitty person in order to fit the mold of what a politician needs to be today. You have to lie. You have to put your morals aside in order to go with your party. And I just think that's a load of shit. So I'm not super happy with politics on either side. Yep. I think Trump already said that I would never say that he's a great person. But just throwing whatever he has done and did into the blender in order to feel good about, you know, him not having being a poor loser. Regardless of if the election was done fairly or not, I'm not arguing that here. I'm just saying that if right now we can't prove it's a W, it's an L. And the best thing to do when you're a winner is take your loss graciously. It shows people that you're a real winner. And it's been so disgusting and garbage what's been going on the past couple weeks. And I was telling you, like, I couldn't believe I had the news on live and I'm watching mobs of rioters, because that's what they were. I will call people that were breaking into buildings rioters, and I will call people that break into the Capitol rioters, and just breaking shit.
Yep.
And then, you know, the hypocrisy is rampant on both sides. We have Democrats saying that they can't believe that white people aren't being arrested. The fuck was going on when African American and brown people were being rioting? They weren't being arrested. So shut the fuck up. And second to that, people saying that this should be okay because we're trying to save the presidency. Absolutely not. You're going to ruin our democracy. One of the biggest things that we have is the peaceful transfer of power from two parties that are not aligned. It shows that ultimately we can come back to the table and be democratic. We are a democratic republic. That's what we're supposed to do. So my cup is so full with politics over the past year.
Mine's overflowing, man.
And I'm also done with people subscribing to the fact that a politician dictates who you are. Like, who the fuck cares? I mean, grow up, people. The fact that you would dictate your next 4 years off of somebody sitting in a goddamn chair. Holy cow. I mean, yeah, the person has a lot of power, but like, ultimately, not really. They essentially just make the environment to some slight degree that we all move in. But it's all about 95% the same at all times. Taxes change a little bit. The way we do business changes a little bit. Money is still money. Real estate is still real estate. Investments are still investments. Stop getting distracted by all this stuff, because that's ultimately what the media and they want you to do. Get so enveloped in this nonsense that you get distracted from what's actually real. So you have to be reliant on the government for your money, for your income, so you can listen to Big Brother.
Breedwell had a cup of coffee this morning. You feeling good, bro? You might have the vid, but I will say this. You are on point today.
I'm like 100% done.
It's time to get back to focusing on what you can control. I'll say this. I don't know if anybody else felt this. On Tuesday or whatever the date was that all this was going down, I'm doing my 75 hard challenge. One of my activities is, you know, part of the challenge is I got to get outside for a second workout, or one of my workouts has to be outside. And so I forgot, you know, yeah, it was the 6th, but I didn't really think too much of it. I knew there was the big Trump rally going on in DC, but my office is here in downtown Sacramento. And so my mom and I, she works in the office with me, and we went out for a walk. For that 45 minutes. And I mean, the Capitol in Sacramento, state capital of California, was packed with Trumpers and people, you know, and all peacefully. It was very peaceful. But what I realized was as that day progressed and went on, and I got sucked into this vortex of politics and rioting and chaos, all productivity, all clarity in my goals, all focus and attention, because we're attention goes, energy flows. All my energy just got drained and sucked into this tornado. And I was stuck in the eye of the Trump tornado, and my whole day went to shit. And I thought about all of the days and maybe the weeks and some of the months that I really gave a lot of attention and energy to politics over the course of this last year. And it has brought nothing but angst and anger and frustration and really distraction to ultimately taking away from the things that I want to achieve. So yes, of course, you got to know things at a high level. And unless you're planning on somebody being somebody that's getting into politics and making a difference and really jumping in and making that a career, you know enough to be dangerous, but stay focused on what you need to stay focused on, right? And so I'm just so ready to get back to, and really I am making this commitment and very intentional decision that I'm going to stay abreast of what's going on. But at the end of the day, we got big opportunities, folks, in 2021 to stay focused on. And the people who really have their eye on the ball that they're swinging at are going to be the ones that are hitting it out of the, you know, out of the park and getting on base and putting up runs and really seeing themselves round the bases and cover ground that they need to be covering. So I just want to point that out because it can be very, very, very easy with the media, with social media, with tech, right? Coming in, being that it's so integrated into our lives nowadays and really infiltrating your mindset and dictating where you think and what you do and or don't do. And we're seeing that right now with big censorship. And this ties into the stock market right now. If you have been paying attention to what's gone on over the last, let's say, 48, 72 hours, Parler being one of those big platforms, right, that was kind of an echo chamber for conservatives and or non-censorship. And tech took a big after Trump, right, did what he did. And they really wanted to cut off any communication channels that he had for reasons that many people believe are valid, right? Ultimately, it is an attack on free speech. And tech is now starting to see a little bit of a lashback. What did we see here, Breedwell, in terms of, I know Twitter, I think dropped, it says Twitter fell 7.8% in pre-market trading. Facebook was down 2%. Apple delisted Parler. Amazon delisted Parler. Now Trump came out and said that he's going to be creating his own platform or he's in the works with other people. I know Parler's working on creating their own servers from the ground up. But really what it comes back to, and this is, I think, something that, again, if you're going to incite by, if you're in a position as Trump is, right, your words hold more weight and power than the majority of the world. So there is a sense of responsibility that goes along with that and accountability that goes along with it. And if you're inciting riots or violence or things like that, whether it's Trump or the next person, right, there are rules and guidelines you have to abide by. I get that and I agree with that. But because you don't necessarily agree with someone's political views or, you know, whatever it may be, that you now have the ability to completely strip away those rights when they don't fit your narrative or your agenda. And my concern is if we are going to agree that private businesses like Twitter or Google or Apple or whoever, right, have the right to discriminate against someone, Trump or anybody, because I'm not defending Trump's actions or what he created in terms of, you know, a conversation that really fueled people to do certain things that I disagree with. If we are going to apply the right to discriminate against anyone they want because of their politics or whatever it is, right, we're not laying the groundwork for businesses, other private businesses, to discriminate against race and gender and religion and sexual orientation because it doesn't align with maybe their set of terms and guidelines, right? And so now they're opening up this door that I think they think they're too big and will this change over time? Or what are your thoughts on all of this in terms of censorship? Because obviously we're seeing people get really upset over what happened. And, you know, there's 75 plus million people that may be more conservative that really disagree with what Twitter or what Apple or Amazon are all doing. And they may move and look and take their business and their attention elsewhere.
Yeah, I think that what the big tech people are doing is in the bit slowly rolling towards this. It's not right. I think that they've kind of crossed the line. I do think Section 230 needs to be repealed. It just gives too much of a... Social media networks should not be able to decide the merits of the Constitution on an individual. That's for courts to do. Second to that, it's the hypocrisy on the big tech companies for who they're banning and then who they're not banning.
Right.
Is more of an issue because if you take Donald Trump and that small incident, which was a big deal,
Yep, we're all the same.
That one incident, and then you compare some other people that are still on Twitter, that still use Twitter. I'll bring up some of the popular examples. Ayatollah Khomeini, he says death to America quite often. That's America. That's 300 million plus people. They burn American flags. Is it designated on the U.S. terrorists list, but is allowed to continue on Twitter.
And he's running ads right now. I think he's making them money right now.
Yeah, so that's hypocritical. You have Louis Farrakhan, who is like a very popular Muslim
extremist.
Yeah, I won't say Islamic because he calls himself a Muslim. I think there's a little bit of a difference. His group is mainly African American Muslim individuals that are militaristic. They wear like military uniforms to church and stuff. He's a weird dude. He has incited violence multiple times. You can go look that up. He's still allowed to be on Twitter. So I think there can't be one thing applied to one person in one way and then not applied broadly to all individuals. That's where hypocrisy ends up becoming an issue. I think Jack Dorsey, what I really think needs to happen is they need to remove the executives. Jack Dorsey needs to be removed as CEO. Mark Zuckerberg needs to be removed as CEO. All these executives, they have this thought in their mind that they are above the government, because now they've decided that, hey, if we don't like you talking on our system, we're going to go ahead and kick you off. There's rules and regulations in our country that do not allow that. Just like if I didn't like somebody and I was a home lender, I would not be able to discriminate against them if they sent me an application to give them money. I don't have to like somebody, but I have rules and regulations that I have to go by. Discrimination is illegal in the United States for somebody's race, morals, creed, or anything that's protected by the Constitution. And unfortunately, whether you agree with it or not, and I do not agree with it, but that free speech is protected by the Constitution. Just like Alex Jones can get up and be a fucking jackass and say a bunch of conspiracy theory stuff, talk about the Sandy Hook shootings and stuff. You may not agree with it, but you have to deal with it. And if you don't want to deal with it, here's the best part about it. We got open borders and you can get the fuck out of here. It's not a requirement to stay in the United States. But if you don't like something, let me just give you a hint. It's mostly liberal people that think about this. Things don't change around you. You change and either adapt to things or you just don't do them. And it's okay not to do something, but constantly complaining about it and then bitching and moaning that things don't fit your narrative, so they need to fit your narrative so that you can be happy, it's selfish.
Yeah.
And I will, 9 times out of 10, that's going to be a Democrat. I'm just telling you guys, I'm not saying that I'm perfect, because I'm not, but I'm also pretty sober. You guys can hear me speak on this podcast. I have toes on the earth. I understand where the line is drawn. I just think a lot of people don't.
Well, I think it comes back to a key point that you said there is discernment. You know, free speech. If you hear somebody spewing some bullshit on the street corner, you can go through with your own discernment and say, all right, maybe there's truth to that, or this guy is absolutely out of his mind, right? That doesn't mean because of what you heard on the street corner, you're going to now go and rob a store or do something radical or crazy, right? That is part of us as human beings, being able to filter and process logically the information that we're taking in. But now, right, when we are ultimately being funneled specific messages and or kept away certain messages, now that is a form of publishing and promoting or denouncing certain things. That is where ultimately the argument comes into play, right? And free speech is under attack right now through big tech. And I think that is something that concerns me for sure. But here's one positive note that I took away from all of this is that private companies can do what they want. If Twitter and Apple and Google and all these motherfuckers can do what they want, so can you, my friend. Yeah. So can you.
And you know what I would say? All
businesses that are out there that are shut down right now, that are struggling, that are looking at Gavin Newsom or looking at your politician or looking at somebody else, right? To tell you when you have permission to go and serve your community and make a dollar and put food on your table and create security and, you know, have that stability for you and your family. Guess what? You just got the green light to open back up, because ultimately, right, if the big tech has the ability to do it, then so do you. And that was ultimately one of the big takeaways I took away from this. But we'll digress on this topic just in terms of, I think it's something to be aware of for sure. And ultimately know that, you know, some of these trends, right? You know, there were a lot of people. And I think the point that I want to highlight is, no matter where you fall on this, right? You hear Ryan and I give our certain opinions and beliefs on certain things. And we try and be as bipartisan as possible. That's one thing I love about having these discussions, as Ryan, is both of us might feel a certain way, but at the end of the day, we can go, all right, that makes sense. I understand that. You know, we can be somewhat meeting in the middle at the end of the day, and instead of this extremism on the right and the left, right?
Yeah, for real.
So I just think that, you know, in terms of where we're at in today's world, when you can look at some of these trends, though, that are happening and some of these discussions that are starting to get posted up on the wall, that might give you the ability in terms of what investments you look at or steer clear of, and how you might be able to play the game a little bit at a higher level. When you got 75 million people that voted for Donald Trump and think that freedom of speech is under attack, and they're saying, we're going to cancel these mofos because they are attacking what we believe in. Well, guess what? You look at a trend like Twitter dropping almost 8% in pre-market trading. You look at some of these other trends, and that might be something to forecast where things may be going. Or, right, if you believe long-term in what is Twitter and what is Facebook and what is all of these companies, and you see a big dip like that, but you think they're going to come back, maybe it's something to look at a little bit closer and see if that's something you want to take a risk on, right? But just in general, this is going back to, in my opinion, the details. Don't get caught up in the headlines. Get caught up in the details and the long-term trends that you believe in, and play the game a little bit, right?
Amen.
And yep. We're seeing that here in today, at least in terms of what's gone on in the market. Give us an update in terms of everything that has gone on over the weekend, over the course of the last weekend, how we're seeing the market open up today. We're seeing a lot of red here on the screen.
Yeah. So I was telling Matt this weekend that, in my opinion, what I normally do is I'll talk about investing from a long-term perspective, guys. So investing not for tomorrow, but for many years down the road. So when I think about things, that's how I think about money. And I would recommend that, unless you're doing a short-term deal, you guys think about your investment dollars in the same way.
Because we're not going to be your daily day trade, this stock is hot, get in, get out kind of conversation, right?
Not allowed to do that. I get insider information. I'm not allowed to do that kind of stuff, guys. I would make too much money. Darn it. But we talk about investing long, and what can we see here? I was telling Matt that, in my opinion, stocks have had this euphoria, this run up over the past couple months. I have not had my clients' money allocated towards those areas. I've had them in the financials, healthcare, consumer cyclical, energy, and real estate, areas that would not be making money today, just to be clear. Why do I have my clients' money there? Well, I'm pretty positive, and I have a good track record, if you listen to this podcast, of not being 100% correct, but being pretty damn spot on. I have a feeling that the S&P 500 is going to retest its support around the 3,600 level. We're trading at 3,809. That's not a bad thing. When the stock market goes down, it is not a bad thing. Just like when your home value goes down, it's not a bad thing. It's just the way that assets work. All asset classes, they have ebb and flow. That is going to be a test to see a lot of institutions, if they then re-enter the market. There'll be some profit taking, and you will see profit taking in stocks such as Tesla, such as Google, such as Zoom, such as all those stay-at-home tech stocks, because the trading volume on them right now, which may or may not mean anything to you guys, is razor thin. That means that the amount of stock that's being purchased every day is not as much as it was. That tells us that it's retail investors driving the stock price up, not institutional investors, not small, medium, or large traders.
Small mom and pop day traders.
Exactly. And probably on my favorite app to watch people do the retard, which is Robinhood. They probably are buying this stock thinking it's just going to keep going up because I am a non-sophisticated investor. I don't understand. I'm buying a company. I'm not going to look at the company's financials. I'm not going to look at, and do I think Tesla is bad? No. But when you have stocks that are trading at thousands of a time, their price to earnings ratio, math will ultimately prevail eventually. It's an exact science for a reason. At some point, institutions will take their money off the table because it simply does not make sense. And the first thing that's going to happen specifically in Tesla is that there's going to be profit taking. It's going to drive the stock price down. That's going to correlate into Bitcoin, like I have already said. And whatever the S&P 500 does, which I think it's due for a 7-8%, maybe even more pullback, Bitcoin is going to do a 30, 40, 50% drop and pull back with it. And that's because the same thing has been happening with Bitcoin. When 6,000 people worldwide own 71% of an asset, that's a big deal. And that's Bitcoin, guys. 6,000 people own 71% of it.
Bitcoin rally may be the mother of all bubbles, says B of A. I know you've been very outspoken on Bitcoin just not being a sound investment. And recap that real quick for our listeners that I've seen a lot of people go, I feel like I got the FOMO. I've seen people take big positions over the last few days when it was up at that 37, 38, 40 range. Now we're, what are we sitting at right now? If I look up, at least right now, we're sitting at 31. Why do you
41 on? We were at 41 on Friday. I mean, so.
Talk to us why you don't like Bitcoin.
There is about 6,200 retailers worldwide that accept Bitcoin. Let me just put that in perspective for you. There are more people that accept a Wiener Schnitzel hot dog coupon. And accept Bitcoin worldwide. Second to that, it does not have, it originally was thought to be a good store of value. The problem with that comparison is it's comparing to gold. And let me just go, I'm going to take you all to church for 3 or 4 minutes. You're going to learn that I'm not this crazy motherfucker that gets on here. When gold, nobody knows how much gold there is because we haven't mined it all. But you know what I do know? There's a hard cap on gold, meaning there's a finite amount of it. So I know how much gold should be valued based on the hard cap of that asset. It's a variance, but within 1-2% of what we know because, okay, we found some more gold. Let's add that to the list. But it's a pretty hard cap. Bitcoin has no hard cap. There's about 21 million Bitcoin that are supposed to be totally circulated. And I think there's like 18.7 million right now in circulation. It's projected that it'll take about 115 to 130 years for the rest of the Bitcoin miners to mine the rest of Bitcoin. Here's the problem, guys. Its scarcity is what's driving its price. There's no hard cap on Bitcoin. All they have to decide, and it would be a consensus of the general population that uses Bitcoin, they would just have to decide to add 21 million more Bitcoin. Nobody is there to stop that. If that happens, the price of Bitcoin will go bye-bye. And it's because of the forking that continuously happens in Bitcoin. These are the technical things. I don't have time to spend 30, 40, 50 minutes on a podcast going over. But I promise you, I understand, and I know that you don't. And that's why I am on here telling you that Bitcoin is, and I can now say because we've decided and will never, with an N-E-V-E-R, be a good investment for a long-term investor. Just like I would not say gold is a good long-term investment for anybody ever, because it's a shitty place to stick your money. It does not have, it has no interest yielding. It does not pay you to hold your money there. And you are charged with the responsibility of making decisions on when it's at a high price. Right now, technical analysis doesn't work for Bitcoin. Fundamental analysis doesn't work for Bitcoin because there's not really a reason the price goes up. Just like right now, there's not really a reason for the price to be down 10%. It's not, it doesn't make sense why the price is down 10%.
What do you say to all the people that are, this is obviously a headline in America, but this is a lot of people feeling this way about their government, maybe their currency, right? We're looking at why Joe Biden's $3 trillion stimulus package, which they're talking about, you know, here at the end of January, basically printing and printing and printing more money when I think, you know, and forgive me if I don't have the exact statistic, but 22% of all money, I think is what it was in circulation in America right now, was printed in 2020. They're talking about printing another $3 trillion potential dollars, right? And the devaluation of the dollar and using this as a hedge or a store and many other, let's just say, people around the world who maybe don't trust their governments, their currency, going, oh, Bitcoin, that makes a lot of sense, right? But you're saying the lack of utility and all of these other things that really don't make it a great long-term investment, your fund or your group coming out and saying, hey, this is never going to be a good long-term investment. What do you say to those people that are going, but look at this. What about this headline, Ryan?
Are you interested in boosting your income by an extra $50,000 this year? If so, you're going to love what I've got in store for you. I am beyond excited to officially announce an incredible opportunity to join me in my exclusive mastermind, which will include myself and 25 other hand-selected investors who are actively pursuing commercial real estate in 2024 and want to be held accountable to making sure they buy their first or their next commercial real estate investment property that will net them a minimum of $50,000 a year. This mastermind group will not only teach you how to do that, how to find, how to analyze, how to structure and buy these types of commercial real estate investment properties, but you'll also have an opportunity to be a part of an intimate group of high achievers that are going to take your network and your resources to a whole nother level. But here's the catch. Like I mentioned before, this is exclusive. We're only selecting 25 ambitious individuals for our founding members group who are serious and ready to take that next step in their commercial real estate investing journey. So if you are ready to increase your passive income by at least $50,000 in the next year with commercial real estate investing, then this is your moment. These spaces are gonna fill up fast. And trust me, this is the one and only time to be a founding member, which comes with some pretty special benefits. So head over to myfirst50k.com and submit your application now. Again, that's myfirst50k.com. You can head over there, check out the program, see everything that it entails, submit your application to join, and I can't wait to connect with you soon.
Yeah, if I go to Alitra, who owns Reynolds & Reynolds and Philip Morrison, which is a tobacco company, if I go to their website, it'll tell me that they're going for a smoke-free America as well. So I'm immune to that. I'm not going to take an article written by Coinbase, who has a
heavy incentive.
Vested incentive and interest in that price of that asset going up. By the way, Bitcoin is not worth $40,000. That ticker was completely off. On their website, it said Bitcoin was worth $40,000. It's worth about $31,000 right now. So I go off of what people who have no skin in the game, just money in the game, that's their skin. Those people are not selling the asset. They're a purchaser of the asset, and they're going to give you a non-biased review of it. Most institutions are of the opinion that Bitcoin is not a long-term viable place to put their money. JP Morgan Chase has purchased and increased some of their holdings. And I know Mass Mutual Insurance Company has recently purchased some more Bitcoin. That really just doesn't mean anything because institutions purchase stuff all the time that's speculative because I'll give you something, a little word of advice, they can afford it. They have millions and millions, hundreds of millions of dollars for speculative investments. They don't know if it's going to work. And Matt can tell you this is, it's almost like they're little CEOs that sold their company. Most CEOs that are small and medium that sell their company, take their money and then look to buy into unicorns. That's all they do with their money. And that's why most CEOs that sell their company end up being bankrupt within 4 years, because they don't find that unicorn. That is all that these big institutions are doing. They're leveraging their economies of scale and saying, well, we can afford to put $20 million here. If it hits, holy cow, it's a big up to us. If it doesn't, we can write it off as a cost of doing business. Doesn't hurt us, doesn't help us, whatever. That doesn't really indicate what me and you as a retail investor should do. I would argue that that's them getting their toes wet, because Mass Mutual or JPMorgan Chase buying $10 million of something is like me going and buying a dollar cheeseburger. It just doesn't, it's not really something to talk about. I think that, again, what I'll fall back on, blockchain is the technology that will be the secret, the sexy of that, and that's what will come of it. And I think these big banks are spending their time in their research departments figuring out how to mimic that and improve upon it and not be first to market, but take a product that people like, improve it, and then re-solicit it back to them. And they will win when they do that, because people understand banks. And even though banks are not a great place to store your money, because they don't pay you a good rate of interest and they're not really as safe as they sound like they're going to be, even though they're safe, but you know, they failed. A lot of them failed in 2008. People still trust them. People don't trust Bitcoin as a whole. People don't. And you still see headlines of wallets getting completely emptied. Hackers do know how to break into the blockchain technologies, because the security systems on them are not robust enough. And I'll just, last thing I'll leave you with is, do you think that a country like Russia or China can hack into our infrastructure and they don't know how to hack into your Bitstamp or Coinbase wallet? You have to get off your high horse and understand that's just not quantifiable. There's a lot of risk to those assets. The trading fees on them are 5-10 times higher than trading stock. There's just a lot of things that don't make Bitcoin or don't make Ripple what I own, or don't make Litecoin a good long-term investment. It just makes them a fun place to put your money. Just like you can invest in 1970, 1980, and 1990s cars and flip those for a profit. That doesn't mean it's a good long-term investment source for your money. It's just fun, and that's okay. And if that's how you view Bitcoin, then that's cool. It's a fun place to try to make some money. But thinking that it's going to change the future, there's no government being involved, and this is just going to be the currency of the future, I want whatever you're smoking, man. You know, got it in California.
I love it. So for those of you who I know are going to disagree or have an argument for this, drop us a comment down in the section below and let us know your thoughts. Lock horns with Mr. Breedwell. You know he likes to hear what you guys have to say. You can text us at 844-447-1555. If you're watching this on YouTube, drop your thoughts down below. Do you think Bitcoin is going to continue to rise and soar? Is it a great store of value? Is it a safe investment? Or are you on the Breedwell train and saying, this is just a trendy, sexy headline?
If I'm wrong, I'll be just like JP Morgan and I'll come out and say, we were wrong on Tesla when they're 1500% down on the short position.
Yeah, right.
I just don't think I'm going to be wrong, guys. I reserve the right to be, because as a human being, I'm not always right. But I have a lot of resources behind me, and I have a lot of licensing that goes into why I'm telling you what I'm telling you. And I don't hate things that make money. I just hate things that say they're going to make money, and I'm pretty sure they're not. And then people are so uneducated, they're like, oh no, it's going to make me money. I'm going to go put my money in that.
Yeah.
Think before you act a little bit more.
Yeah, absolutely. That's where you see a lot of people end up losing their shirt.
FOMO. FOMO, like you were saying, fear of missing out. There's all sorts of stuff. There's a lot of other Bitcoins, if I want to say that, stocks that have not come out, companies that are gonna blow up. You just have to be doing your research, doing your D&D, and you should be able to get on top of those. But don't be fearful of missing out on Bitcoin. You didn't miss anything.
So switching gears, updates in terms of where the real estate market is at kicking off 2021. Big news in terms of, I don't know if you thought money could get any cheaper, but if you are a borrower right now, if you're looking to refinance right now, it is a good time to be leaning in and engaging with your lenders, with your money relationships. Mortgage rates started the new year with a new record low. 30-year fixed mortgage rate dropped this week to 2.65%. This is last week, down from 2.67%. Although the 10-year treasury yield is moving a little bit upwards, that is still, guys, something that if you can, this is why we say in real estate, right, leverage. If you can practically, right, get free money, there's so many ways in terms of margins and ROI when you got this available to you to really capitalize. So if you can get your hands on any good real estate product this year, investment product this year, and lock in long-term financing, of course you have to be bankable. You have to have good credit. You have to have reserves if you're going to go and get traditional long-term money. But this is something that if you have the ability to do that and you're a long-term investor, right? We don't talk about short-term stuff here. Yeah, flipping, wholesaling, right? I've got some good flips going on this year. Right now, some good wholesales to kick off the year. And there is going to be that demand. So there will be that short-term in and out opportunity. But in terms of long-term wealth building, this is as good as it's been, honestly, that if you can take advantage of this, highly recommend it. Now, we are seeing at least some headlines in terms of CentraLock showings were up 24% year over year. So that demand is there. You know, people are definitely going to be purchasing real estate because money is so cheap and the inventory is still remaining significantly low. So in December, we saw foot traffic decline a little bit. And we saw some seasonality, right? Pending home sales declined 2.6%. Oh my gosh. Again, nothing to be worried about. Seasonality that is tying into this. And I am very bullish. 2021 in single family real estate specifically, it is going to be a very strong year for gains and for home sellers. I know you're excited about that, right? Because you're selling your house this year, you're building a new house, right? So again,
I locked in the, like, my contract back in August of 2020. So my, wow, how much it has gone up. It's not even built.
Yep.
And the value of my not built home is hundreds of thousands of dollars more than I already paid for it.
Yep.
And yep. I haven't paid for
it. So we've been tracking, of course, forbearance numbers, right? Is there going to be this wave of foreclosure? All of the people, whether it's the small mom and pop investors who tenants aren't paying them rent and their foot in the bill, whether it's people who actually live in their home, right? And because of the pandemic, we're unable to, you know, pay their mortgage. Forbearance numbers, been tracking that over the course of the last 12 months. We're almost coming up on a full year here towards the end of March, early April. But we're seeing here forbearance numbers fall to 2.74 million according to Black Knight data, which is ultimately the firm that tracks a lot of these numbers. It dropped by 92,000 over the first week of 2021. So this is positive, and partly I believe this is tied into what we're seeing here. New stimulus bill includes $25 billion in rental assistance, right? So this is going to be for a lot of the renters and individuals that are ultimately making up a big chunk of this pressure on the small mom and pop investors. Say that again.
Rental assistance is they pay like 40% of their rent and the other
20, they have to pay 25% of their rent in order to be able to qualify for this. And again, this is for low income. So this is going to be for a lot of the workforce. This is going to be for your low income housing individuals. And, you know, oftentimes that's anywhere from a $30,000 to $50,000 income or less per year. But again, this is overall positive. And again, this is somewhat of another, you know, Band-Aid. It's a lifeline for making sure that we don't see this massive wave of foreclosures hit the market. So for all these people that are salivating, you know, going, ooh, there's going to be so many foreclosures that hit the market and they're going to make a killing. I don't think we're going to see that. At least I don't think we're going to see that anytime in 2021. And I think if anything, right, as we still have a lot of dust that still needs to settle from the pandemic, again, we're, you know, the dust storm isn't over. So, you know, we're still in the middle of this whole crisis. Until the crisis is settled, and then the responses and kind of the lagging results of what happened in the crisis start to play out, then we'll start to be able to project and see some trends start to take place. But right now, it's anybody's game. And that's why tracking this data is important, because you want to make sure you're keeping a pulse on what the current trends are, and what the data is telling you is ultimately going to kind of play into what we actually see in the market. So 2021, very bullish on the single family real estate market. Again, we've seen some major, major, major job losses in terms of what has happened in leisure and hospitality. I mean, you want to see where the, you know, job losses have ultimately been hit the hardest. We're seeing food services, drinking placements, amusements, gambling, recreation, accommodation, right? A lot of these all in hospitality. And then look at, you know, a lot of these industries have been booming. So, you know, this is where we're probably going to see, and you're not going to see a ton in government or education, right? But leisure and hospitality, there's going to be a lot of, you know, opportunistic buys in terms of distress when it comes to hotels, when it comes to office, when it comes to retail buildings, right? But in terms of a lot of the other areas that are booming right now, that ultimately correlates and ties right back into what? Single family real estate. So with that being said, know that we're going to continue tracking all these things for you guys. I enjoyed the conversation today, my brother, in the fact that you are, you know, a little bit distanced. We still made, you know, we made do, and you dropped some fire today in terms of Bitcoin. I'm really excited to hear what people say and respond in you terms do. Of this one. But yeah, I mean, going from 41,000 all the way down to 31 in just a matter of what? Hours, days?
Couple of days. But I mean, like I said, if you go look at the hourly bar chart on there, it's doing this where it swoops up and it's lower every single time it hits a resistance, and it goes back down, and then it's back down. That's dangerous when we look at charting, because that tells us that there's a lot of people are selling off and getting out of that asset class. And just like it went up that fast, you have to remember things that go up that fast can come back down just as fast. And there was another, I'll leave you with this. I forget which, I think I sent you the article this morning. Let me just double check. But the
You did.
The FCA, which is the Financial Consumer Authority, has issued a warning to all investors of Bitcoin. They should be prepared for their accounts to go to zero.
Ooh.
I just want to just know that when institutions that are regulatory, that their job is to protect consumers, they don't say that about stocks. They don't say that about real estate. They don't even say that about Forex. But they will say that about Bitcoin and cryptocurrencies as a whole. Be very careful when you invest. Be very, very, very careful when you invest.
If you guys have any thoughts for us, drop those down in the comment section below. As always, you know, we want to bring the conversation, create the space for us to have logical, right, detailed conversations around things that matter when it comes to your money, your wealth building. So that way, not only are you going to live like a millionaire in your bank account, right, you can use and carry over those disciplines, those habits, those conversations into other areas of your life and live like that whole life millionaire. So with that being said, we appreciate you guys. Be sure to check out millionairemindcast.com for more resources. All the links, if you're on YouTube, are down below to all of our free resources. Head over to becomethebank.info for life insurance. If you guys want to set up a call with Ryan, text the word X-ray to 844-447-1555. One of the most unbiased and honest answers in the financial world that you're going to find. So I would heavily suggest that you guys lean in on him. You know, he's making himself accessible to our Millionaire Mindcast listeners, all of you guys. We want to help see you guys win. We don't get any value or benefit from this except for the fact that we love creating opportunity for everybody to win together. So with that being said, don't forget, keep investing in yourself and your wealth on your march to a million and beyond. And we will see you guys next week.
See you guys.
Well, that wraps up this week's episode of Wealth Building Wednesday. Be sure to tune in next week for more news and updates. If you got some value from today's show, all we ask is that you either leave a review on whatever podcasting platform you enjoy listening to this content on, or share this with somebody that you know can gain some insight, some value from it. One of the things that you guys know about Ryan and I is, you know, we definitely won't say we have all the answers, and we definitely won't say we know it all. We just want to bring conversation to the areas, the topics that we believe are really important to bring attention and awareness to help you
sharpen your axe, put more tools on your tool belt, weaponize you to make the best decisions that align not only with your financial goals, right, but your lifestyle goals. So if you guys want to take advantage of Ryan's free financial x-ray on your investment portfolio, all you have to do is text the word x-ray to 844-447-1555. Most people have no idea what they're being charged from a fee perspective, or really in most cases, overcharged, and whether or not their current investment plan is actually aligned with what they're trying to accomplish and by when. And this is something Ryan does for all of our listeners for free. So be sure to take them up on that x-ray, one word, 844-447-1555. Also, if you are someone who is serious about building your wealth and you're already kind of established, but you want to surround yourself with other like-minded, high net worth individuals, be sure to text WealthCamp, one word, to 844-447-1555 to learn more about our intimate five-star experiences with other like-minded business owners and investors, to cross-pollinate, to hear what they're doing, and to have a whole hell of a lot of fun while we're doing it. And last, if you want to know more about consulting or getting mentorship directly from me or from Ryan, you can learn more by texting the word mentor to 844-447-1555. With that being said, that's all for this week. Until next, keep investing in yourself and your wealth on your march to a million and beyond. Cheers, my friends.